Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for the podcast version of Trey's Variety Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Trey's Variety Hour, and I am not Trey Radcliffe. This is Scott Jarvie. I am doing some hosting today while Trey is, where is he at? He's off in the Caribbean somewhere?
He's somewhere in the Himalayas. No, I don't know. He's on a cruise, I think.
He's on the Big Fantasy, the Disney inaugural boat ride.
Yes, he is.
So, Trey asked me to come in. We're going to have a really fun theme today. We're talking about the Festival of Colors, which throughout the world is often named Holi. And we have a bunch of people here with us today that were at the Festival of Colors in Utah, which happens to be one of the largest of these festivals in the world, one of the largest gatherings. Obviously, more people celebrate it in India. And we're going to show some pictures from that event, and we're going to even show a video or two from that event, and that's that. So, first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Scott Jarvie, and I am a full-time photographer. I'm pretty mostly known for doing a lot of wedding photography, as you can see kind of behind me in my office. I have a gallery throughout this building with 13 walls, kind of like that. But I do a lot of travel stuff, and I try to stay very involved in the photography community, especially on Google+, which a lot of these people is how I connected with them and how I let them know about this event was through Google+, and you'll see some familiar faces here. We're going to go through them, and maybe one of the most familiar faces, well, and also you can find me, Scott Jarvie, on Google+, and my website is Jarvie Digital, and that's J-A-R-V-I-E. And like I was saying, one of the more familiar faces here is Thomas Hawk. Thomas Hawk.
Yo, Jarvie. Yo, Jarvie. Player.
So, where can they find you, and who are you there with?
Who are you, Thomas Hawk?
I'm here with my wife, Julie Peterson, who is also on the trip. And you can find me at thomashawk.com. Or on any of the networks, on Flickr, or on Google+, or Twitter, or Facebook. Just do a search for Thomas Hawk, and I should pop right up.
Nice. Julia, tell us something interesting about yourself. You were there at the event.
Oh, yes. It was very exciting. I always think these are going to be long nights and not much sleep, and I'm always so excited just to be away from the daily chaos here, but it's equally very, very nice. Had a great time.
And we're going to be able to see a couple of your pictures as well?
I haven't processed as many as I would like, but I have some in the stream that I'm happy to share.
Nice. Great. Now let's go over another familiar face here, Lotus Carroll.
Hey, everybody, I'm Lotus Carroll. I'm an Austin-based photographer and blogger. You can find me all over the web. I've sometimes been called a social media or attention whore, so you can find me anywhere, Flickr, Facebook, and Google+, under my name, Lotus Carroll. Not many people know that I actually have a bachelor's and a master's degree in psychology. And yes, I am analyzing you.
Hey, Jarvie. Lotus also does a kick-ass photography show on Wednesday nights called Photo Talk Plus.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Who else is on that show?
Some other dork.
Nice. Okay, let's start over on our left-hand side. We got a couple of Utah natives with us that were obviously already in town, and they just came over for the event. Dave Daniels.
Yes, I'm Dave Daniels. I'm based out of Salt Lake City. I moved here after growing up as a military brat, and photography is a second job / hobby. And right now I do a lot of portraits, weddings, and trying to do 300 composites by the end of the year. So that's a little bit about me.
Nice. And hopefully we'll get to see maybe an example of one of the composites at the end. That would be great. Yes. I am actually going to skip the next person because he's going to be kind of our special guest. And we're going to hear a little bit more from him. So I'm going to go straight over to Jeremy Davies, another Utah.
Yes, I'm Jeremy Davies, Utah. Well, I've actually only been here for 2 years. I mainly do landscapes. You can find me at Surreal Photography. It's SUR-REAL photography.com, or just on Google Plus at Jeremy Davies. And just, man, doing that hangout with everyone else was just probably one of the highlights of my year so far.
Nice. So that's cool. Okay, John.
Hey. This is John Armstrong. Sorry, Brad Peg. I am based in Salt Lake City, and I can be found on Twitter and Flickr as just Blurb. I was Blurb before Blurb.com, so I could probably work an angle there. But so I'm Blurb on Twitter, Blurb on Flickr. I'm J-O-N Armstrong on Google+. And my website's called Blurb-O-Mat, like laundromat, but Blurb, Blurb-O-Mat.com.
Now, I've noticed quite a bit of traffic coming from your blog. It seems to be quite the popular blog. You've been running it for quite a few years, right?
Yeah, I started that site, and I actually bought the domain in 1999, and it was a kind of a portfolio site, and then I turned it into a blog in 2001.
So actually, when we were at the festival, there was kind of interesting story where Lotus met you. Lotus, tell us about this.
Oh, you're going to embarrass me, Scott. Well, back several years ago, I started my blog. It was a mommy blog, and I started it because of John's wife, Heather Armstrong, known as Deuce. I'm sure he likes to be followed by that all over the place. But
you know what? It's awesome. I'm stoked about that. I've had an awesome time with that. So I'm actually happy to hear that.
Her blog was the first blog I'd ever seen. That's how I learned what a blog was. And I thought, not to downplay how wonderful she is, but I thought, I can do that. So that's why I started.
Nice.
Awesome.
Hey, Ricardo Lagos, we got some Google representation here.
So that rumor's true. I am a Google employee. But I'm also a big Scott Jarvie fan, and that's really why I come to all these things. And I like to follow Lotus and Thomas and everyone around and take pictures with them. So I got a few pictures, and I'm happy to show them.
So, Ricardo, you're saying that you came to Utah just to hang out with me, nothing to do with the festival?
Well, those two reasons were up there, top five.
Ricardo,
Ricardo,
any new and upcoming Google Plus features you'd like to announce tonight?
Yeah, right. I want to go to work tomorrow, so we'll just
keep on. Oh, come on. Are you releasing the API on Friday? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. No comment.
Nice. Okay, and personally, I'd like to, get to know some of these other... We got two people that weren't at the festival but are hanging out with us right now. Is it common to chat with you guys, Dave?
Sure, yes. So first we got Tony. Tony works for Twit, and he's broadcasting for us. Hello, Tony.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for that.
Hello, Tony.
I'm Dave Effer. I'm the producer of this show. Trey couldn't be here, but I'm here. So you can find me at plusdave.com. I am an amateur photographer and IT guy. And now back to you, Jarvie.
Nice. Okay. Well, our show is about the Festival of Colors. So let's start explaining that a little bit. The Festival of Colors is a festival called Holi in the Indian tradition. And here in Utah, in this small little farming community called Spanish Fork, there is tens of thousands of people come to this event at a Krishna temple in this farming community and just have this all-day-long party, and they throw colors into the air. And one of the more common questions is that chalk dust? Is that bad? Is it dangerous for you? It is a cornstarch base. Is that correct? Did anyone check the packages to read the ingredients?
When they announced it, that's what they said it was.
Yeah, it was supposed to be organic, too, so I thought it was, you know.
And it has a perfume.
Yes, and because this festival is partly to celebrate the burning of the witch Holika, and another thing is to celebrate the coming of spring. So all the colors of spring and the scented, the colors are scented, so it's the smells of spring, the pleasant smells. And the person in Utah that organizes, his name is Charu Das, and I've been friends with him for a few years now. I've been going for about 5 years. I missed 1 year, and I don't think I'll ever do that again because it was too good to miss. And I've seen it grow. I mean, I came 10 years after it started, and when I came, there was about 4,000 people. And now I don't know what their numbers are, somewhere between 20 and 40,000 people. I'd say more around 40.
I read an article that quoted a newspaper saying there was 80,000.
Bah.
Well, there certainly
at
was.
Least 100. At least 100 were probably there.
250.
No way. 250. Do I hear anyone?
I'll look it up for you. I'll look it up. I'll really look up here.
Anyone higher than 250?
It felt like Woodstock to me.
Yeah? And has anyone been to anything similar to that?
No, I've never. That was incredible, and that's just kind of in my backyard is crazy. Like I had no idea about it until I saw your thing on Google Plus, and so for me this was a really incredible event and weekend to shoot. I had no idea that this existed. I knew there was a temple, but I didn't know that they did this event.
Well, Well, first of all, we're going to jump right in to show a video that kind of shows just the funness of the event. But I see in the chat room on Twit TV that we've got someone that linked to the Utah Krishnas page. So if you want to read some more information about them, and they do a pretty good job of showing great links to pictures and videos from the event there as well. And you can also go onto Google Plus and do a search for hashtag Festival of Colors and see some of the posts that we've been doing quite a few of. But first, let's get a good rundown of the event by meeting Devin Graham and having him introduce himself and his video.
Hello, everyone. As Scott was saying, I am Devin, and what I do for a living is I find things that I think are viral or visually appealing and make YouTube videos on it. And that's literally all I do for a living. So I originally heard about the Color Festival from Scott Jarvie a couple years back, and this was the first year I was around to actually do a video on that. So with that ado, I will show you guys the video. Do a screen share. Second. Do you guys see my window with the video up?
Yes, yep. We do.
Okay. We will get started.
So I've seen that so many times. Nice. I kind of wanted to.
Awesome. Love that.
Thank you.
Nice work. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of questions about the video. We got a lot of photographers here, but if anyone has a couple of questions about how you made that, that'd be great. Tell us how was it though? Because you got that up pretty quickly after the festival, right?
Yeah, well, with videos, when you do videos on events, because it's so talked about right at the moment, you know, if I take a couple of weeks, which normally a video to edit something like that, it would take at least 2 to 3 weeks to edit and put together. But because there's so much talk about it right now, if I don't release it right away, people aren't going to share it and the hype for it is going to die down, you know. And when my whole purpose is to make videos that people share, I have to release it right away. So I pulled basically 2 all-nighters. Anyone that knows will say it was 2 full all-nighters just to get the video done as far as rendering it out and then exporting it out and converting it and then editing it all the way through. So
how much footage did you take?
We actually had 4 cameras there, me and I had 3 other friends. And each person was kind of assigned different roles. Like one person, he was just shooting slow motion stuff. Other person, he was shooting stuff kind of right in the crowd. And then I was kind of free-floating all over the place. And I had one other person doing a lot of wide stuff. So, I mean, there was 4 of us. So we had a lot of footage, and we shot the entire day. But the main thing, because I think they do the throw every 2 hours, you know, as far as the main big throw. And that was the most important thing that we captured. So we made sure we were there for every one of those.
Did you guys have to fight over who got to do the crowd surfing video portion?
No, actually, we just met people there, and we had a little teeny camera, contour camera, and we just asked people that we thought were photogenic. We're like, do you mind crowd surfing and holding the camera up on a stick, you know?
Oh, that's cool. I thought they were all kind of part of the group.
Yeah, so it was just people that we met as far as friends, and we just made sure we kept our eye on them so they didn't take off with the camera.
Cool. That's great.
But yeah.
What camera did you mostly use to shoot it with yourself?
I was shooting on the 5D Mark II, and I just bought a 5D Mark III, which I was, because I didn't want to get that one dirty right away, you know, just because it was brand new. So I had my other friend shooting far away on a 70 to 200 millimeter lens to get all those shots.
Yeah, who would get a 5D Mark III dirty at the Colors Festival? Who would do
that? No one does that.
All of us, right? Yeah, so and then we had a 7D as well that we were shooting on, and then a Canon 60D. But yeah, all Canon DSLR cameras besides that contour, which is like a GoPro camera.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, well, I really like the crowd surfing ones. Those are really cool.
Yeah. What was that?
The crowd surfing
ones. What did you edit it in?
Oh, Final Cut, Final Cut 7.
Okay.
Where did you get your 5D Mark III?
Picture Line, actually.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I got it from Pictureline.
We love those guys, don't we?
Yeah, we do. No complaints.
Nice. Yeah. Well, was there any other interesting story about when you were filming?
Well, originally we got there, and I mean, we all spent like, I don't know, 20 minutes making sure our cameras were super protective. Like, we stuck the plastic bags around them and put rubber bands around them. But when I got out there, me personally, I was like, I have no control as far as shooting video and changing the exposure and the shutter and all that other kind of stuff. So I was like, I just got to take the bullet, and I got rid of the plastic bag, and I was just shooting without any protection whatsoever on the camera, which is kind of a bold move. But I actually didn't have any problems with my camera. I came home, I just sprayed it off with dust, and I cleaned it off, and my camera worked just fine. You can't even tell that it was at the Color Festival.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't run into really any problems. The cameras, they worked just fine. I mean, they're all kind of the higher-end cameras, which do really good in dust weather and that kind of stuff, you know? So we really didn't have any problems as far as that kind of stuff goes.
Yeah. What lens were you shooting with? And you were in the crowd most of the time.
Yes, I shot the whole, because there's so much dust, we never changed lenses at all. So the whole time I was shooting on the Canon 16-35mm f2.8. But yeah, that's what I shoot everything with. Big fan.
We sent the 5D Mark II back into Canon to have it cleaned afterwards, and they cleaned it, but they made a note and said that there was a foreign object found on the sensor.
Oh, really?
And the mirror or something.
Was scratched, yeah.
Scratched, kind of.
Oh, just from the dust itself?
I don't know. I probably scratched the mirror doing something else, knowing me.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Tom, I think it's when you stuck your finger in it last time.
Yeah, I usually just threw my tongue in there to clean
things. You licked it, and then you clean it off that way.
Well, yeah. They're doing something similar to the Color Festival later on this month. It's called the Color Run. It's called Color Me Rad. And it's similar to this event, but it's actually like a race. And I'm filming that as well. So I'm waiting to get my camera like professionally cleaned after that race so I don't have to clean it twice. But yeah, I'm for sure going to get it cleaned by the professionals eventually after that.
Here, I'm going to show a picture of Devin here working his magic with his glide cam. And I noticed that you did have it protected at the beginning, and then later on I took pictures of you, and it didn't have that on anymore. So now I understand.
Yes, that was the truth behind it. I mean, as you guys can, I'm sure you guys know, you know, with all the powder going everywhere, your lens is constantly getting covered. So I had to keep on sticking my shirt and keep on rubbing in, like every part of my shirt, like inside and out, was completely smothered just from cleaning my lens. But it got it good enough where you could see through the lens.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, yeah, we're going to ask some of the other people real fast. And then I know you got to go, but stay with us for a moment. What did some of you others do to help protect your camera?
I asked you what to do, Scott.
Yeah? So what did you John?
Pardon?
What did you find was the most helpful thing?
Well, I think the gaffer tape was the best. The gaffer tape. I had a 70 to 200 that I left on my camera all day. I taped over the stabilizer and autofocus and all the switches, and I taped over the focus. I chose that lens because the focus ring doesn't move when you do autofocus. And I just kept the zoom ring so that I could, you know, compose shots. So that I taped over everything except for the viewfinder and the LCD. And then I did like a gallon Ziploc bag that I put over the whole thing. And that worked actually pretty well.
Here, David's got a picture. He's got a picture up of, is this what you did for the Festival of Colors, David?
Yeah, this is what I did last year. I used a rain cover that you can get for like $5, $6. I got it at Picture Line. And I gaffer taped the front of the bag to the lens hood. I put a UV filter on the front. I used gaffer tape around the lens hood. The lens is a Tamron, so it's a push-pull, which makes it really easy to focus. And then I use a rubber band on the other end around my arm. Which makes it fairly, unless I take my hand in and out of the bag, it works really well. And this year I actually put two or three packets of silica gel to try and keep it a little bit drier. Because your hand sweats. And it did okay.
I did. I used a rain cover as well, but instead of putting my hand inside of the bag, I just tied it off on the bottom really tight. And I just, you know, shot through the plastic. I used my fingers through the plastic instead of having it inside the bag, and it worked just as well. And then I didn't have to worry about taking my hand in and out of it at all.
Here we got a picture of David.
That's great.
So do you think that protecting it to this degree made you this confident that you went straight into the middle of the crowds, apparently?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I even with last year, I knew that I could get in to the middle of the crowd, and yes, they're jumping around, so you just have to watch out for the mosh pit and avoid that, and watch out for the people who are body surfing on the crowd, because, I can't catch somebody if it's my turn, but it works really well. I think next time I'm going to double up the rubber band just a little bit tighter around the wrist, but I didn't have to spend much time cleaning the camera afterwards.
Did anyone have to spend any time cleaning the camera afterwards much?
No.
I did a little bit with a little brush and with a little bit of air, but not much.
Well,
I was surprised. I was surprised how little it needed.
So, I want to go back to Devin for a second. I'm not sure if you guys actually watched Devin in action, but the fun thing about following Devin around was that this is a pretty outrageous event already, in that there's stuff everywhere, there's people going crazy. And then Devin and his group of friends, his team, really whipped these guys up into an even higher frenzy. And he generated these really great photo opportunities. And all I had to do was kind of like stick back a little bit further back from Devin and his guys. And I have a bunch of shots that are really fun. like, you know, there's, I actually have a shot of, you know, the backflip that, I don't know if that's one of your friends that did it or not, or if somebody you met there, but I actually got the, I actually also have a sequence of the backflip that I caught on my camera. Uh-huh. So, you know, I think I've benefited greatly by just following you around a little bit.
That's awesome. I'm honored.
Here you can see Devin yelling at them. What were you usually yelling at them, Devin?
What was that?
What were you usually yelling?
Be sexy, be hot, love life. Just, I think when you joke with people and make fun of yourself in a loud, kind of obnoxious way, it gives them permission to be themselves as well. So I think a lot of people are intimidated by the camera. So I think for me myself, I've noticed coming in and shooting video, as I'm making fun of myself and yelling and joking with them and becoming an equal with them, I get a lot more natural reaction. So with me yelling, I mean, that's what I was doing, is just kind of hyping them up, joking with them, making fun of them, kind of like in a friendly way, though, like not to be like diminishing or anything. And then they have fun with that, you know, and I think I get so much better reaction because of it. So that's my
I found you could pretty much get right in people's face. I mean, they're there to be seen. They're there. Obviously, they're an attraction. I found very few people that were not responsive to having their portrait taken. I got pretty much right in people's face.
Yeah.
So, Devin, I know that you, we've known each other for many years, met on a movie set.
Yes.
And you've recently been going all over the world. You were recently in New Zealand and not too long ago in Iceland.
Africa last week.
Oh, that's right. What's your next big adventure? What's your next project?
Next project, I'm doing a World War II reenactment. I got three World War II tanks. One of them, a Panzer, the only one in North America that actually shoots. And we're basically recreating World War II. I got 40 extras, four World War II Jeeps, a motorcycle. The tank's literally going to be shooting blank bullets. But it's going to be one of our next like big YouTube videos that are kind of going all out. We got several people that are sponsoring it, Smug Mug. That photography website will be one of the big sponsors on that video.
Go Smug Mug.
Yes, Smug Mug for life.
So wait, this is kind of a departure a little bit from your typical videos, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm constantly doing different videos, branching off. I mean, this week I'm shooting another YouTube video called Puppy Easter. And what it is cute, adorable puppies and little bunnies and little baby chickens running around. I'm just looking for different content constantly because I don't want to get branded as just a cinematographer that does happy things, you know, or cute things. I'm just constantly looking for different things and branding myself in every department.
You did that for Christmas. How many did the puppy Christmas get? How many
I
hits?
I got 3 million hits.
Wow.
Nice.
So this is basically the puppy number two. So we'll see if it goes viral as well. But I think it has a lot of potential. So we'll be shooting it tomorrow, and then we'll be releasing it probably Thursday or Friday. So look out for Puppy Easter.
Someone on the chat says that you should then do Tank Battles Puppies.
It's actually a really good idea. Normandy style with all the little puppies running up the hill. I like it.
and a couple people recognize some of your videos, like the Puppy Christmas. What do you think you're the most known for? Which video do people go, he's the guy from the
human slingshot video and the world's biggest rope sling video that we did in Moab. I mean, those are the two with the most hits. One has 10 million, the other one has almost 7 million, I think. So those are the ones that have been seen the most, and because of that, I think that's what I'm kind of known for.
Nice.
So there's definitely the more extreme sport kind of thing, taking a different take on it, for sure.
Well, anyone else have a couple questions for Devin while we have him handy?
How did you get your footage to match up with all the different cameras?
I use a picture style, and I just made sure everyone was shooting on auto white balance, and then they had exact same picture style that I was using. Because of the YouTube videos that I do, it's had to make it done really fast. So there's actually no color correction in most of my videos. Just straight off a camera. But I use a certain picture style that kind of brings up all the colors so I don't have to throw it in Final Cut or throw it in color and kind of tweak everything just because I don't have time to do all that kind of stuff.
So did you run the footage through anything before you pulled it into Final Cut?
I throw it through Compressor, and I convert it to Apple ProRes 422, and then that's what I edit in.
Nice. Okay.
And then I export it straight out as an MOV file, but I don't do any tweaking or anything after that. It's just as it is. So.
Nice.
Any other
have you thought about bringing puppies to the Colors Festival?
That would be a huge hit too. We actually had one little dog in our video, but the more puppies, definitely the more better it will do.
More puppies, more views.
It's true. Anything cute is what people love to see. So, trademark. Any other questions, y'all?
No, it looks like. And so, where can they find you? I know you have two channels, right? Tell us about both of them.
Yeah, so you can find me on youtube.com/Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Supertramp. And then you can also get on youtube.com/Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Graham. And that will take you to my second channel, which is my behind-the-scenes channel, which I go over a lot of the camera stuff that I do. And I actually did a behind-the-scenes just on the Color Festival as well. But those are the two places you can find my YouTube videos. And then on Twitter and Facebook, the same name, Devin Supertramp. You can find me most places just through that name. So,
all right. Thanks, Devin, for coming along.
No problem. Thanks, guys. I will see you later.
All right. Bye.
Later.
See ya.
Hey, Thomas, I pulled this out of the reel that I haven't processed for you.
Nice. Look at that little dude.
It's a little sad, man, to bring a puppy to this thing.
There was a cat there, too. Did you see the cat?
Puppy can't defend himself, but... It's hard
because, you know, they get, and a lot of that chalk, they have a lot of asbestos and stuff, so it's probably not good.
Well, and you'll see babies.
Really bad on the puppy and asbestos.
You'll see newborn babies there as well.
It's all cornstarch, and they regulate it when you come in to make sure you're not bringing colors from something else, like you just bought them online, or to asbestos. Make sure that it's safe. So,
didn't they say that the cornstarch makes the grass greener when it's all over?
Oh, yeah?
Did he say something about that? I don't know. Maybe
the green cornstarch does.
It was metaphorical.
Okay. See, yeah, I don't know. I was a little delirious at the end there. So.
You sniffed too much dust.
It was all that booze, John, that they served at the festival.
You know, the lack of the booze is the thing.
It took me about 3 days to feel normal again once I got home.
There was four bars they had at the festival.
For you guys, what was your main attraction for the festival? Why did you guys come? What did you really want to take pictures of?
Scott Jarvis said it'd be cool. No, I wanted to get portraits. I wanted to get portraits, interesting portraits of people. I think events and festivals and celebrations are great places to get in close. People are much more loosened up. They're much more amenable to having their photograph taken. Obviously, the color makes an incredibly dynamic portrait. And so for me, I mostly focus on portraits.
Yeah, Scott, you showed some really nice pictures back in, you know, June and July and August of last year. And it just seemed like a really unique opportunity to get something different.
Yeah, someone mentioned in the chat just now that... going to this one in Utah for some of us in the United States is definitely a lot cheaper than the alternative of going to India.
Well, I definitely want to go to India now. Now that I've seen this one, I definitely want to be in India. And from what I talked to my friends, they say Northern India is the place to go if you really want to see these sort of festivals.
I bet they don't have near as many Mormons at it, Ricardo.
Yeah, white kids.
Not as many college students from Utah?
Yeah,
not as many Mormon college students.
Yeah, yep. BYU isn't as heavily represented in India.
Yeah.
It's Utah's one chance for a hippie love festival.
Yeah.
Except without the sex and drugs and free love and all that.
Yeah, and a little free love. Hugs.
Free hugs.
Free hugs, right.
There were free hugs.
There were.
A lot of free hug signs.
I was going to say, Scott, I don't normally shoot people. So for me, this was a real great opportunity to learn how to approach people in public and get shots without having some of the awkwardness that might exist normally. So I was really happy with what I got. I mean, I still haven't even gone through half of my images that I have. So I'm just completely thrilled with what happened.
It was like a free-for-all. I mean, there were really like no limits to what you could do as far as shooting people.
Not like on the street.
I tell you, I took 3,500 shots, and I only have one set of frames where I got flipped off.
Probably the best picture.
Yeah.
How many pictures did you guys take, and were you there both days?
I was there one day, and I took about 4,500 that day.
All right.
Frames. And I flagged 967 or so, and I've processed 365 of those 967 so far.
Whoa.
Have you slept ever?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Julia, how many did you take in comparison?
Gosh, I haven't even gone through them all. I just did a precursor. I have no idea.
Yeah, does anyone else know how many they took?
I'm looking mine up. I survived about 900 photos.
Well, I took about 3,500, and I'm probably only going to keep about maybe 100.
Yeah. Is that for both days?
You're talking about just the days of the Colors Festival or the entire walk?
Just 2 days. Oh, just Colors Festival. 2 days, yeah, Colors Festival.
Yeah, I took over 4,000 on the one day of the Colors Festival. I took a little over 12,000 for the whole weekend.
Dude. Yeah, wow. You were there for about 4 or 5 days, right?
Yeah, I got in on Wednesday, and three cool cats named Scott Jarvie and Sam Scholes and Jesse Stay drove me around, and Lotus.
Nice. It's interesting because I'm kind of like you, Thomas. I took about the same amount on that day, on that first day, which for me is by far a record. I think it's like twice my record. I just said, hey, why not? I'm going to take a bunch. But I went through them, and I was pretty selective, and I think barely 1,000 are the ones that I'm going to look at. But I'm going to go down even further, and I might only edit maybe 100 or two. So.
When you're photographing, are you doing it in burst mode usually, or do you do like just a single frame here or there?
Usually single frames, but I do have it on continuous high on my camera, and with the double A's and the D700, it was at 8 frames a second. So I found that it would boom, boom, boom sometimes when I was like, this is amazing, I had to take a picture, and I wasn't trying to be gentle. I was like, hurry, hurry, and it went boom, boom, boom. But they're always moving around at this festival. It's like dance pictures. For me, like at weddings, when you're at the dance portion, they're not the most exciting pictures, but they're moving around so much you end up taking a lot of pictures and only keeping some.
Yeah, I was going to say that I wished I had a higher frame rate. I'm like, I shot with the Canon 5D Mark II, and I really wanted a higher frame rate. For stills, it couldn't keep up sometimes with some of the sequences I wanted,
especially with the color toss, that because that's over in like 2-3 seconds, and it's
well, this is a good segue. I wanted you guys to all bring in a picture from this kind of monumental color toss, which you know, we were there for quite a few of them, and most locations I must mention that they really only do one, if it's some like American, like a lot of college campuses do it, and they'll have like, here's the color throw. And in India, it's like all day long, it's just happening. But at this festival, they did it 5 times that first day. And we're going to go over first to Jeremy, who has a picture up on screen share, and he'll tell us a little bit about it.
On this one, it was the first toss, and I held my camera up ahead of my head so that I could get a view of everything. But little did I know that I was actually pointing a little too far down. So I actually just got pictures of everyone's butts the entire time. But luckily, I was able to grab a little bit of the end of the toss, but it's still kind of, you can still see some colors, but it's got that haze and mush of all the colors coming together. But it was pretty funny.
Nice. Did you try different things on the different color throws?
I on my second one, I did behind the stage, and that one came out okay, but that one that I shared was probably the best one that I've gotten so far.
All right, we've got a different view here from John. John, tell us about your picture here.
So this was, I was there the second day only, and it was kind of a fluke, but I wanted to get the sea of people and just the craziness of the color when people throw, you know, you get these bits, like it's like a Saving Private Ryan movie where there's like, you know, bits and pieces of debris flying amidst all this crazy color. And I wanted to show the crowd too. And I don't really have many pictures of the temple. So this, I like this one because I actually got some temple shots.
That's a really cool photograph. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
You were zoomed in quite a bit. What is that? That's zoomed in.
So I zoomed in because I wanted to show this thing right here, like this, that little yellow curl.
Oh.
That like whipped around thing, but now I'll come back out. There.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nice. That's one of my favorite shots of the weekend, actually.
And that's pretty cool. Okay, we're going to go check at Ricardo's, another up close.
So this shot happened on the second day. And the first day I shot it on aperture priority, and none of my, wasn't really happy with the color throws. They were fairly normal, not super interesting in my opinion, my first day. So the second day I shot it shutter priority, and I just, for the color throws, I set it up to 1/4000 so I could really just freeze the moment. And this was shot right in front of the stage. And there's two things that happened. One was, after the initial throw, it usually got dark pretty quickly, but I continued shooting. This is like probably 2 or 3 seconds after the initial throw. And so by some stroke of luck, there's light that pierced through and it lit up the color still. And so, this is my first shot. It just has movement and it has still lots of different colors. And I think that really captured for me what I really enjoyed about the weekend.
Nice. I love that shot. That's great.
We're going to go over to David. I think he's got a picture too.
Yeah, this one.
Crowd, right?
Yeah, I like to get into the crowd. The one chance, the one issue if you're in the crowd is that when people throw their hands up into the air, their hand might go right in front of your lens. And I do have a number of throws where I just had nice big arm in front of a lot of color behind it. And so it is luck of the draw. And I just wanted to make sure I was always somewhere else during one of the big throws and just put it on burst, hold it up as tall as I could, which is probably about 7 feet, 8 feet, and just hope I get something during the toss.
You had better luck than I did.
All right.
So I shot with a 5D Mark II, so I only had three frames a second. So it's I'm saving my pennies for a 5D Mark III for next year.
That's a great capture. That's really nice.
Well, thank you.
Lotus, do you have a picture of the group of the throw?
Yes, I do.
You do, and then we'll go to a new person here. We got Mike joining us, so we're going to go to him right after that.
Nice.
Can you see that?
Yes, we can. Tell us about it.
I actually had a hard time with the throws because I tried to do them from down front several times, and I just wasn't getting what I wanted down there. Got a lot of the hands in front of the screen kind of thing. And I was using 70 to 200, so, I mean, I couldn't really do anything that got something, you know, a big view like this from up close. So I learned my lesson, and I went way up the steps on the temple, and this was actually the last throw. And so I got several of these, and I'm actually going to make an animated GIF and join in the animated GIF crowd.
Because everyone loves those.
Yes, they're the best. A ton of people will unfollow me, but it'll be okay. But
you'll have a million still left.
What?
You'll have a million followers still left over.
Okay. So anyway, this is my favorite one. And you can see the stage at the front, and you can see all the shoes that were getting thrown on the top. That's what those actually are, those like little dark spots up there at the top of the stage. People's shoes.
What, there are so fewer shoes than there have been in years past. Oh, my gosh. Sure. That the top of that used to be full of shoes.
Well, you know what? There were actually, I think because this was the last throw on the second day, but like the first day, there were a lot more of them up there, I noticed.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, out of all the shots I took of the actual organized throws, this one was my favorite with all the color at one time.
Wait, this is the last throw on the second day?
Yep.
Where am I? Because I went right into the middle of the crowd.
Probably obscured.
Obscured by the... Well, that didn't happen to Michael. Let's go to Michael real fast.
He complained mightily about you.
Yes. Unmute yourself, Michael, and tell us.
Well, luckily, that actually happens to be the photo that I'm going to share. So.
Great segue. I'm so good at this.
Perfect segue.
I'm amazing.
Nice.
Oh, that is a pretty picture. Awesome. I love that.
So mine's still loading. So do you see the massive Jarvi tripod in the center?
That makes the picture, right?
It does, right? But I don't know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I saw this beautiful colors, a beautiful temple. Everything was peaceful and beautiful. And then I just see Jarvi's huge tripod in the middle. So I went ahead and did a little work, put my Photoshop CS5 to action, and got rid of the tripod. I don't know if you can see that, guys. Yeah.
Nice.
Whoa.
Nice work.
Wow.
So the tripod is gone, and it's like Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox's hand starts disappearing when he's playing guitar. Jarvi's tripod is no more, and the scene is peaceful again.
Was Jarvi replaced with Huey Lewis?
I wish.
Okay.
A lot better singer than Jarvi. But.
Yeah.
But this also was the last throw of Sunday, the second day.
Nice. Well, I wanted to show something maybe a tad bit different. A few people did the same thing, getting right in the crowd. And I just, Michael was showing, I put my camera up on the tripod with a cable release and held it up in the air and just went to town and hoped that it got focus. When it got really, really dusty in there, it had a hard time focusing. But at this point, at the initial explosion, it did all right. So
nice.
Love that, dude.
I should have synced it up a little bit better, Michael, and got the other side of it. But I haven't even looked at day two pictures yet. So. And we're gonna go to Thomas real fast and see if he's got one of the crowd. And then right after that, Thomas, would you show us one of your favorite portraits?
Okay. So I do have one of the curse. Let's see. Hopefully this works.
Yeah, we can see it.
You see it?
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So that is of the crowd. My computer's hanging, so I can't see it, but I assume you guys can see it.
Yes, we can see it.
Yeah, it looks great. So awesome.
Yeah, and I took I took lots of different portraits. I tried to focus on those. So, I tried to get in as close as I could, and I really wanted to get sort of emotion. And so, I don't know that I have a favorite, but, this is sort of typical here of what I got. And I was shooting the 135, and so I wanted to get in as close as I could. So I did stuff like this and, stuff like this.
Nice.
Yeah, you kept that lens on pretty much the whole time, and I think that's what helped you out because your camera was pretty covered, but you never changed the lens, so you didn't have to worry too much.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to focus on portraits, and I like playing around with some of the black and white stuff that was kind of different because
it looks like
the anti-color, but gives this sort of really cool sort of edge, but. I wanted to capture emotion. I wanted to capture really tight, close portraits. So I just really focused almost the entire time on that. I got a couple of the color throws, but mostly I was there to get portraits. I love that zip line that they had, the guy that did the video down the zip line.
So yeah, there was another video for Good Line Films. They used the zip line, and they told a little bit more of the story. For me, Devin told more about the happiness and the party aspect of it, and Goodline told more of the story of the festival.
Yeah, I felt like
I really liked the black and white stuff. I really liked. I have some of the stuff that I think that took the color away, gave you so much more emotion. I was surprised.
Are you saying that they're too white? You know, and I needed them to be not so white.
No, I think it underneath all the color were just some really nice emotions and portraits. And the color was great too. I mean, don't get me wrong, 90% of what I produce out of this will be color.
Nice.
But the black and white, you know, I think there was an opportunity to shoot some really nice portraits. And if you can get beyond the color, in some ways the color is a distraction, right? Because mm-hmm. it's beyond, you know, it's so powerful and so overwhelming that it takes away from the person underneath almost in a way. And so I like doing some of them in black and white. You know, and then, you know, I took the big crowd scenes too, and the people surfing and, you know, crowd surfing and all the different colors and the audience and that stuff. But, mostly it was emotions and portraits that I was after.
Cool. Well, if Julia is able to pull up anything, we'd love to see, her perspective, the his and hers perspective. Let us know if it will take a couple of minutes.
I can't really because we're using his laptop, so I can't really screen share from my library, but I've got some on this post that I've done.
This guy, I did like this one portrait of this guy especially because he was like...
it looks like something I saw at the airport in a wanted poster.
Where's all the joy, yeah, Ricardo? So like,
yeah, somebody that I shared a house with took it out of me.
What were they doing? Oh. You up all night?
I'm talking about Michael Bonacore, of course.
Yeah, we can come back to Julia. I can pull some of hers up. I just have to share a different screen. So
here, I'm going.
Portraits was all it for me.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to pull up. This is one of Julia's pictures of one of the photo walkers that came. This is Marcus Kara. You got him with his camera too, so which kind of plays into some of our conversation here.
It's a great show.
Can we Photoshop so that hat
cut now? Doesn't he?
Nice.
Yeah, really.
Take the hat off. It's a great shot.
How about this guy and his hat? Also, I'll take this one. Let's see. Oh, you got one of the color throw here.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Do you see these pictures, Julia?
I am now. Yeah, I can see it a little bit. Yeah, no, it was tons of fun. We had a great time. I had to run out, so I missed the bride that showed up. But I had to run out and get some non-vegetarian food for Andrew. So, but those look great, too. Gosh, I can't believe I missed that.
All right. Let's move over to Ricardo's got a picture, a portrait here. Show us your portrait.
So I shot the whole time with a 50 millimeter. Even though it's a crop lens, so it's more like 75, right? 80.
That's great. I love that.
And, you know, this sort of scene really only lasted for like a second or two because everybody, when you shove a camera and when you're shooting with a 50 millimeter, you're so close that their immediate reaction is to smile or to break out of what they're doing and pose. And so the whole time that I was there, I kept on trying to surprise people because I had to get really close because I'm shooting with a 50 and I wanted to get a genuine emotion or a moment that wasn't posed. And then when I looked at my photos and I saw this, I think like this part for me, I think is probably the best photo I've made all weekend.
That's great.
It's nice work.
Nice. I'm going to quickly share my screen and show a portrait of the organizer of the event. And I had fun using my 14-24 on a full frame, shooting at 14 with the tripod up high and just letting it, you know, kind of auto focus and hoping to get the focus. And It went for the focus on the fingers, which I really like because the Krishnas, and especially Charu, talks a lot about... he talked in between bands, right? Did you guys ever listen to him?
Yeah. You know, I did. I liked what he had to say. In fact, I'm thinking about trying out this whole Hare Krishna thing for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. But, no, he was a great guy. And that's a wonderful portrait of him. He must love it.
Yeah, so I think that's just the perfect one for him. It's he's all about, like, this is a... He made a comment in the other video that Goodline did. He said this is one of the only big event like this where people come together, and it's not an event where they are mad about something. They're not competing against another team. It's not about I win and you lose. It's just all about, you know, kind of having fun.
You know what, Jarvie, one thing I will say about his preaching, you know, in a certain degree, I'm not a big fan of all that stuff, but, you know, I did think it was nice that he was so inclusive. You know, he did say, you know, it kind of doesn't matter if you're here, if you're a Krishna or if you're a Mormon or if you're a Christian or if you're an atheist or whatever you are, as long as you're here and we love everybody. And I kind of like that spirit of it all, you know?
Yeah, very, very inclusive, very happy bunch. He was encouraging people. You can body surf, but don't drop people, and, you know, send them backwards, because if you send them forward, the people won't see them come and they'll just fall. So he was like giving them hints and everything.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a positive vibe going through the whole thing.
Let's run over. Who else has got a portrait for us?
I just put one up.
All right, John.
This is these moments happen so quickly that it's like you're in this sort of play and you're shooting and you're trying to find the emotion, and I just got very lucky. This is not a, you know, great shot in terms of technical, but the emotion is really awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
what lens was that with, John?
That was a 70-200, and I hold on. Let me tell you what it was. Ah, sorry about that.
Yep.
That was at almost all the way out to 200.
Beautiful portrait. That's lovely. Such great emotion in there, and the color and all of it. It works. And her mouth. Look at her mouth.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, by the way. That's I got so lucky, and I for me, I'll probably throw away, you know, 90% of what I shot, but the ones that I'll keep are just like they're treasures, you know. Like this, for me, this was a huge weekend in terms of photography. Like I really feel like almost life changing. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's really true for me. This was a big deal.
David, you've been before. Was it different for you? Did you get any different portraits? You have a portrait to share?
Yeah, let me share one here. I actually have three.
Yeah, while you chat.
And I probably should have reviewed the ones that I took last year just to see what I did do. But oftentimes what I do is I'll start at the bottom of the hill, walk up to the top of the hill, and I just look for anything that looks interesting.
That's fantastic.
And so this one I really like just because the pink and the yellows, and you capture the energy of this is right during the actual throw after everything goes pink for the most part. And you just start aiming at whatever moves in front of you because you're in the crowd and you can't see too much. And then in between throws, I would just go around, and I always like to the glasses or the face masks that people wear. I mean, I saw people with birthday hats. And so I just look for anything different and just go for I like the portrait land or portrait layout in here. And then, of course, the body surfers are always fun. And I like this one where the light's falling on the crowd and the temple in the background.
Yeah, that temple is really nice in the background. There was a great sunset that night, too, with that temple.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do you guys feel like you could have just looked at anyone in the crowd and go, they look so unique, and you just focus on them for you know, a short period of time, and they're bound to do something awesome. Like the shot was going to come.
Yeah.
Like I saw this guy and I followed him for like 30 seconds. I'm like, he's very photogenic. He looks a little different. He's got bigger ears than normal. But, you know, I had a great smile the whole time.
You know, I think it was interesting, sort of the different characters, whether they were wearing a mask or whether they were wearing, or whether they were a baby or whether they were a young kid. Or, you know, I was looking for sort of unique. I mean, there were an awful lot of just normal looking people. And I shot some of them because they were hanging out with our group and stuff. But beyond those guys, you know, I was looking for things that were different and unusual. And whether it was somebody that was very muscular or very fit, or somebody that was the opposite and completely unfit, or I was looking for characters. I mean, because you don't get to shoot characters every day. You can't walk up and down the street and shoot characters. You can't get right in their face that way. But at a festival, you can.
It reminds me of USA, the station. Characters welcome, right?
Yeah, characters are great.
You know, what we haven't talked about is how awesome it was that you could shoot kids there within
people. Yeah. I was going to say that I was really surprised at how many kids were there. I had no idea.
There were babies. Yeah.
There was one kid in particular that got a lot of pictures, right?
Oh, Jack. I guess that's a segue, right?
Yeah.
Anyone have any pictures of this particular baby?
Hey, Scott. I've actually got some portraits to show, and then I've got that baby at the end there. So.
All right, let's do it.
This was the first one. I've got several, actually.
Awesome.
I liked the really close-up ones, but I also liked when you could get one person in a crowd.
Yeah.
Kind of look your way and grab them. Liked the action shots. So, like, this woman was just dancing like crazy, so I got a lot of really good shots of her hair flying around. Looking for other people with cameras is always fun. This is one of my favorite portraits from the festival.
Beautiful.
Here was the model, Scott, that you had come out with the wedding dress, and then the male models you recruited from the crowd to walk with her. That was pretty cool.
She looks like scared of them.
I think it's a really great look, though. It's kind of like this lost look on her face. It's really great.
Her kids were great, too.
Yeah, her kids are really cool. Talking about the little kids, there were so many kids. I mean, what awesome thing for a kid to do to be able to go to this and be told, here's a bunch of colorful stuff, now run around and throw it on everyone. So, you know, the kids were having a really great time. Oh, and here's someone we might know. Natalia Stone. Roma. Nice. Our fellow photo walkers. And... here's the Jack Attack.
There he is.
Officially the cutest family ever.
Except for Yvonne and Max, who are also there, which were just as cute.
Uh-oh. Rivalry.
There's a rivalry now.
Nice. So, yeah, we told Colby, since he brought a little, you know, little baby, and we were able to take some pictures, that we would... tag the pictures of Colby and his kid and Jack Attack, and we're going to show a couple more of pictures of little Jack Brown. Who else has got one?
I got one, Scott.
Let's see it, Michael.
All right. Well, I still have a portrait too.
Okay, and then yeah,
for a little. Unfortunately, I had two weddings this weekend that I had to shoot, both on Saturday, so I didn't get to process everything I wanted to, so a lot of these I've already shared.
That's great. Love that.
Awesome.
But so, this is...
Photoshopping, right?
Believe it or not, no Photoshop has been done on this photo. So, this was a guy just walking around, scanning the crowd, and this guy opened his mouth and saw the chompers, and quickly got the camera up, and he must have seen me get the camera up because he decided to play along. And I'm not really sure what's going on there, but it's pretty cool.
And by cool, you mean disturbing.
Yes, disturbing. Okay.
And that's my Jack Attack photo. Can you guys see it?
You gotta click to tag the face.
Yeah, click face tag.
Jack.
Scott Jarvie.
Just put Scott Jarvie. Put Scott Jarvie.
There you go. I am the
one. So that's my Jack Attack. That's my Jack Attack photo. That was taken outside of an amazing restaurant that Scott Jarvie recommended and brought us to. I don't know how we fit 50-odd people in that small back room, but we somehow did. Jack
that
decided to.
Was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was excellent.
So was the.
I think I still have. I think I still have the leftovers in my car, but that's for another story.
photo is just really mesmerizing. You know, it's I think it's the feel of the that you did on the skin or something like that.
Yeah, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I did a little work on this photo. I lightened up his face a little bit. He had some harsh shadows on his right side of the face, and obviously it was no flash, very low light outside. So I had the 50mm set at 1.4. Hence why you can't see Colby in the background, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's
good. We'd much rather see Jack than Colby.
I did like that Mexican restaurant the first night and that vegetarian restaurant the second night.
Yeah.
Light dining.
We're actually going to get to that. We're going to share a few tips about photo walking right after we finish up with the festival. We're just going to go on this little theme of Jack for one moment, because I see over here that David's got a picture.
Yeah, I didn't at the time know there was a Jack Attack. I just saw everyone in the world photographing this baby, and I thought, let's photograph the photographers photographing Jack. And so this is an aerial view, and we've got at least four photographers sitting down and taking photos, and there's a few behind that are taking even more. This is the day before at the Temple Square in downtown Salt Lake.
I also did my my picture that I'm going to share that same day. Actually, I've got a little bit of a surprise to share.
You're getting married.
No, yeah.
You're pregnant.
That was yesterday, April 1st.
Oh.
I said April 1st was you're getting your vanity URL, and today's you're getting married.
Yeah. Yeah, did everyone get their vanity URL yesterday? It was only available yesterday.
Yep, yes. I got mine.
Nice.
There was a vanity URL?
Yeah. For Google, you can get a Google Plus vanity URL.
Yeah.
Yesterday only.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I got Thomas Hawk.
Google worker with no last.
You had to do it through YouTube, though, Ricardo.
No, I thought you had to do it through Facebook.
Yeah. Either Facebook or. So earlier that day, you know, a big part of the 3-day photo walk that I organized was figuring out really cool places to go and eat. And we had 15 at lunch, was it 15 to 20 people at lunch? Maybe there's more.
I think it's
And Colby Brown, I don't know if people know him or not. He's been on some other Twit shows as well, Twit Photo, as a special guest there, landscape photographer. And we were talking about his kid there. But I sat down next to him, and I'm just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a time lapse of little Jack as he played around on the table. So bear with us as we're going to watch the video, which has I grabbed some creative comments.
Bigger, it's really small on the screen. Make it a little bigger or something. There we go.
Which was some Creative Common music. We're going to watch this little 50-second. The plane. Woo! I know you guys are. Nice. I didn't see any hands in the air, though.
That is so great.
Bravo, Darby. Bravo. I like that Kanye West.
That was the failing.
That could go so viral. You have to post that tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that Kanye. Some cats or dogs in the photo.
So that was 600 pictures of Lil Jack.
That was awesome.
At 24 frames a second. Actually, it's like 12 frames a second because I doubled the amount of pictures so that there could be.
Are you going to do a blog post on how you're doing, how you make, how, what you're learning, and how you're doing this?
Yeah, sure. I got to post that one now on Google Plus so that it can go viral and get like 1,000 hits, and I'll rub it in Devin's face. I got 1,000 hits.
Yeah, make that Devin guy put that on his YouTube account.
Yeah. Then I'll get 1,000,000. So, no, that's pretty cool though. That he's, you know, I remember being at that on that movie set, and he was asking, "Hey, these DSLRs any good?" You know, and he's like, "I'm thinking about getting one. I think about getting a Nikon D90." And I was like, "Yeah, they seem pretty good." You know, I'm using a different one, but it doesn't have video. And he would ask me questions about them, and now he's like teaching classes about it. So
who, Jack?
No, Devin.
Oh, Devin. Oh
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Jack, the Jack attack. So there you are. I wonder if I'm pretty sure Colby's watching. He better be. So you're welcome for your video.
Yeah, that was super.
You better reshare that.
Yeah, you better. Okay. Anyone else have a quick picture of? I want to be the high note on that. So we're done with Jack pictures. The photo walk in general. I know we're talking a lot about the festival. It was built around the Festival of Colors. It was a 2-day event, but I decided. Well, mostly because you, Thomas, said that you wanted to come a couple days early. So I was like, well, let's make it a little more. And I know Thomas really wants to get Salt Lake for part of his 100 biggest cities project. So I'll do another day in which we focus on Salt Lake. And I organized quite a few events that day and lunch at a nice Red Rock brewery. And we had breakfast in a small town near where we did Sunrise.
Jarvie, that was just absolutely amazing. And thank you to you and to everybody else involved. Yeah, I wanted to shoot. I came there, I think, primarily to shoot the Colors Festival. But Salt Lake City is not one of the 100 largest U.S. cities, believe it or not. But it is a very popular U.S. city. And I definitely want to include it in my collection of U.S. cities. And, you know, it was just perfect, Jarvie. I mean, everything about the weekend, even beyond the Colors Festival. I mean, the things that we got to see, the things that we got to shoot. And unfortunately, I'm so slow with my processing, I haven't touched any of that stuff. But, you know, from heading out to those ruins that we shot, that Sam took us out with you in the sand dunes, and to Jesse Stay getting us on top of the LDS building, which is the tallest building in Salt Lake. Yeah, in Utah. Is that the tallest building in Utah?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, getting up there at sunset to shoot down on the temple, I mean, that's epic. You know, so I felt, and you're getting us in to shoot the symphony. I loved that. I mean, how often do you get, we're walking into the symphony hall that Jarvie got us into. I mean, I prefer it empty. There's like nobody in there, so you get to really focus on the abstract nature of the seats and all this. And as you're walking in, you see a sign on the door that says, "No recording devices or photography." And here we are being walked in there to just, you know, shoot to our heart's content. So, you know, the whole weekend, everything, I mean, the food, the things we got to shoot, the sunrises, the little towns. I mean, I loved, you know, I shot more Banksy's in Park City. That was fantastic. You know, the whole thing, it was great. You know, everything about it. I had a fantastic time. The Salt Lake Public Library, boy, what a place that thing is, right? Amazing.
Lotus, I know that you organize a lot of photo walks. What do you think makes for a photo walk? And I know that there's differences. There's like the 2-hour version.
Yeah.
And recently we've been doing like the 3-day version with a lot of photo Google Plus people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a kind of a different venture from the ones that I've been doing around here. And I was going to say one of the big things that I like to do with those, I think every one of the ones I've done, a plan cast page is like the hub, and then making sure that you share out to all of your social networks to just kind of round everyone up. Easy to kind of try to stay loyal to one, but you know, if you really want to draw a crowd, put it out to everywhere. But PlanCast is a nice place to kind of organize around. You can have everybody RSVP there so you get an idea of how many people. But you know, this thing like what you did is it's much different. I haven't had really experience in doing something that big where you kind of have to organize people across days. That's much bigger, and it seems much more difficult.
It was far more ambitious and a wonderful undertaking. It was.
Now, I noticed that people started to use, to help organize where everyone was at and what was going on, they started to use Google Messenger. What was it that you guys were using?
Oh, the Google mobile app, the Messenger on there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was pretty great way to draw everybody together, yeah.
It's like this long-running conversation that you don't really have to be a part of until you want to jump in and talk a little bit, and you can jump out at any time.
And get the information that people are dropping about, you know, what they've discovered. They got there before you did. Is there parking? Where to go?
The traffic.
Yeah, where is everybody?
And then one thing
is share photos.
You could share photos on that. Yeah, and that was really cool. People started posting photos straight off their phone.
Yeah, so for a place where there was actually cell reception, that was a really good way to communicate with everybody.
Oh, yeah, we've done other stuff in, like, Death Valley and Yosemite. Yeah. But a little less
reception. Everybody just all over the place, and nobody knows where anybody is.
Nice. Jeremy.
Yes.
You have a couple of pictures to share? I know that you have some pretty fun ones from the other day of the event, right?
Friday?
Yeah.
I really like the sunrise one. I didn't like getting up that early, but I like the actual sunrise event. And then my other favorite was the...
Do you have one of those?
Yes.
Let's see the sunrise. I took everyone a far-off location.
This is what I got for the sunrise. That is Mount Tippinogos in the back. We went to Aspen Grove parking lot. And then that's just it was basically a snowshoe trail that you can see leading off into the distance. I'm guessing this was about I think it was a 30-second exposure. 35-second exposure, so you can see the stars, but not quite as much as I would have actually liked, but still fairly pleased with how it came out. And then this one is of the cathedral in Salt Lake, which I absolutely love that church. I've always loved it. The inside, as you can see, is just totally colorful. The stained glass is amazing, but I was just... Luckily, I was there before everyone else, so I could set up my shot exactly how I wanted without photographers coming through and messing everything up.
Dang photographers.
I know.
Lotus.
So I had about 10, 15 minutes before everyone else where I could just get the shot exactly how I wanted, and I'm pretty pleased with how it turned out.
Nice. Anyone, we're coming towards the end. We're still going to share a couple more pictures and have someone. We're going to spend a little. What Trey usually does is share some new fun photographer or someone that's maybe not as followed on Google Plus and share them. But first, Thomas was talking a little bit about getting up on top of this tall building, and John has got a picture of this.
Ooh, look at that! That's beautiful.
This is probably one of my technically best pictures I've ever taken. 25-second exposure, and I didn't have any kind of... I had a UV filter, that's it. So there's some work with the sky and the sun, but I really just did some balancing work. I probably need to do a little bit more work around the temple, which is in the foreground, the building that's kind of bright, and the fairy castle building in the foreground, but... This was like a magic night. It was really incredible. The sunset was amazing, and we were able to stay long enough to get the lights to come on and still have a nice sunset. It was just an incredible night. And Jesse Stay really hooked us up with
that. Thanks again to Jesse Stay, huh? How cool was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in this state for like 10 years, and that was my first time up on top, and I got to experience it with the
It's not open. You can't get up there. Like, that was a special thing. They close it at 6 or whatever. Like, you can't.
Work is done. It's an office building, and work is done. And, you know, it's closed. So.
Yeah, it was
a and some of the other people got a little closer to the temple from another tall building, not 23 stories. They were at like 9 or 10, like you, David.
Yes, we went to the Joseph Smith Memorial Building, which is the next tallest building in that area. We went up to the 10th floor, and it was super crowded with lots of tourists. And so we went down to the 9th floor, turned off all the lights in one observation room, closed all the doors. There was a wedding reception going on next door, and the catering staff said, oh, don't worry about it. Go ahead, take photos, turn off all the lights. And this is an HDR photograph that I created using Photoshop, actually. It turned out better than the other HDR programs that I typically use.
That's beautiful, too. So
that's nice. Lovely. I like the angle. That's a great angle.
I wish I had a tilt shift lens that was wide enough, and then I could get the building perfectly straight. But I like this one a lot. After the fact, I realized I needed to clean my sensor. I had about 50 dots. It looked like the surface of Mars. So I cleaned that up after a little bit of Photoshop work.
Nice. All right. I'm going to try to get a couple more pictures in there a little bit, but let's jump into some photographers. Who has one?
Jeremy, one last thing before you do that, though. One thing I do want to say is that one thing I was super impressed with was this was my first trip to Utah, and everybody in Utah I found was so friendly. From all the people that you hooked us up with for the photo walks, just to people in general, you know, what a hospitable place. I mean, I loved that. I mean, I left Utah with such a great impression for what Utah's about.
You mean the police officer that ticketed you on the way out? He was really nice, wasn't he?
You know, I had no trouble with the police in Utah. No, but I mean, it just seemed everybody was very accommodating and friendly and, you know, you didn't get hassled for your photography at all, and everybody was pretty open, and I liked that.
Not bad for a flyover state.
No, it's great. I thought it was a great state. I'm.
Well, we do have Moab, the Salt Flat, Zion's Park, so there's plenty of reasons to come out to photograph Utah.
Oh, I'm coming back to do Southern Utah, but this whole experience with just Salt Lake was really positive.
All right, so who would like to start us off?
I'll start us off.
All right.
I'll start it off. That's a good segue. Oh. near you, Utah. Well, a good segue with the Southern National Parks. I actually went, I think, about 2.5 weeks earlier than everyone else. And pretty much lived in my car for about 2 weeks. But I didn't live in my car by myself. I lived in my car with an amazing couple, Roma and Natalia. We saw a picture of them before. And me, Roma, and Natalia went to Bryce, Arches, Canyonland, Zion for 2 weeks. Star trails, time-lapse videos. Jarvie came and met us for a while, and it was just incredible. An amazing experience, and everyone needs to follow Roma and Natalia. You can find them at My Seven Continents. And the cool thing about them is they really just gave up everything and started driving across the country, and they've been doing that for about 6-7 months now with a quick stop back at home, but they're an amazing couple. Great photographers and fun people.
Nice. Yeah, Thomas, who do you got?
you know, I was going to show Brad Sloan, who is a wonderful photographer. He's also someone who's incredibly active on Google Plus. Can you guys see my screen?
Good pick.
Yep.
Yeah, Brad's great, and I like his stuff. You know, beautiful photography, and he's a great photographer, but he's also, you know, a great social photographer. And he's very interactive. He's someone, if you're not following him on Google Plus, you should be, because, you know, he does great, great work, and he's very much, oh, he's in the chat room, I see. Hey, Brad. He's very much a part of the social fabric of what Google Plus is about. And I like that. I like when you find someone who's incredibly talented as a photographer and someone who is also very generous as a contributor. So great work, and definitely someone you want to check out.
Nice. Who else got one? Ricardo, you got one?
I'm looking him up. Go to someone else. I got something.
So
all right.
For me, one of the great things about this was my first photo walk, really. I've walked around and taken photos before, but never with such a large group. And so I got to meet everybody who was here, was an amazing photographer. And this is Eric James. His work is crazy. Like, there's this water thing and then this one. And can you see that? I just changed.
That's great. That's Stanford. Yeah.
And then this sort of HDR long exposure thing. But nice guy too. Really awesome. And great. I could probably say that about everybody that came. Just amazing people. It was a great experience.
And Eric James, a lot of people might know him as Eric Loeffler.
Loeffler, yeah.
And I just put his link in the chat as well.
So he's Eric a great James guy. Loeffler. Really wonderful talent. Another wonderful, talented photographer.
Yeah, he's awesome.
All right, who we got next? Lotus, you going to share one?
Yeah, I've got somebody. It's Jake Easley, and I've been following him on G+ for a long time, and the reason why I wanted to share him is because he does really great work, but he's also just this really big personality, this really big, happy, I don't know, when I look at his stream, he always makes me laugh or think about something. He does a thing called Mixed Messages Monday, and he's got a really great sense of humor. So you can see, like, he'll have, like, some kind of demented self-portraits.
That looks like somebody from the Colors Festival.
Yeah, I guess. He goes from, like, this kind of That's stuff great. Where you might think it's slightly disturbing.
Looks like Jarvie.
Thanks.
To these really beautiful, you know, nature macros and such. And his work is really great.
Jake's so great.
He's running the gamut there, you know, from disturbing self-portrait to dreamy nature photography. Beautiful. But he's also really funny and, like, very, very interactive all around G+. He's just a really great person to know and to follow.
And he's been in my Photographers I Follow circle before, too, Lotus.
And that's another good reason why you should follow him. He's got the TH recommendation.
I followed him early, like you.
All right. David or Jeremy.
I have someone. Mine is Frank Hatcher. He was actually Arizona-based photographer. He's actually one of the first photographers that I actually got together with whenever I was first learning. But his work is just phenomenal. He does great macro work. His portraits are superb. He's just an all-around great guy. He loves teaching. He's just real kind. He's unfortunately not that active on Google+, at least not yet, hopefully after this. But he's a great guy. And he really helped me out whenever I was learning and showed me the ropes and really just showed me the way.
Nice. And David?
And I picked another local Salt Lake photographer, Scott Stringham. He is primarily a landscape photographer, and he has done a lot of photography out on the Great Salt Lake, which And he's also a while ago we had a when Kelby Training had their photo walk, he took everyone out to the Great Salt Lake, and we did the fire or steel wool, set it on fire and spin it over your head so it flies all over the place.
The Michael Bonner touch.
Yeah. And but I'm not finding any of his examples, but he's got some really cool landscape stuff that I always enjoy.
His work is really good. I follow him also, and he's really good to follow.
We are, he's very active in the Utah community, and another person who helped kind of like develop this Utah community of photographers out here is his name's Jeremy Hall. In fact, years ago, he would put together what we called Photo Camp Utah. You know, 300, 400 people come together for a day of training. Jeremy's
a great guy.
Yeah, he was at the first day of the photo walk.
Yeah.
And so you can see a familiar picture there. And we went to Park City afterwards, and he got his minimalistic pictures in there as well. But he posts a lot of pictures on there, pretty active. Known him for a long time. Again, one of the more well-known people in this community, at least. Wouldn't you say, David?
Yes, he is.
And Jeremy's been involved online in a lot of different communities for a number of years, even before Google+.
Look, he's even got a picture of you, Ricardo.
I love that. That's a great picture.
At breakfast.
I'm so happy.
Messed up hair look. Yeah, that's great.
That was an early morning. You're allowed to have messed up hair on those sunrise days.
Yeah.
You're also allowed to get in igloos.
Yes! That was so awesome. That thing was crazy on the inside. I didn't know it was so roomy, and I could actually stand up in there.
Nice.
It was very
okay, cool. We are coming to the end of the show. Is that right, Dave? Dave Beffer.
Hey, Lotus, where's my 5D Mark III in there?
Did everyone...
Somebody else is holding it?
No, we're going to do
it's
a
couple. On my tripod.
Did everyone get to share their?
I have someone. I have someone
in the snow.
Ricardo's got someone.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if everybody here knows. I mean, I think a lot of people in here know Barry Blanchard, and Barry's just one of the nicest persons I've met. He's a Santa Cruz-based photographer, and he does a lot of sunsets. He does a lot of landscape, and he does birds. And he hasn't been taking photographs for that long, and he's just gotten incredibly good since he started doing it for seriously. So if you guys should check it out, his photographs, and they're just, you know, he does some macro work too, everything like, you know, what's around Santa Cruz, and this is incredibly good.
Barry's great. I love his work. It's good stuff.
Julia, do you have anyone to share? Who do you like watching?
Such limited time. I've kind of just watched really the most active. But I met a lot of new great people. Hopefully they'll become more active. But nobody in particular.
Anyone from the photo walk that you have been added to your little list that you didn't know before?
Everybody I've added.
She finally added me.
Yeah, but you don't know which circle she put you in, Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
Brian Buck Sorens and stuff.
Hey, one thing we should point out that got a lot of attention, too, is what this does to your camera. Chris Chabot had a post that got like a million plus ones or something. And it's this his camera here. This is what a 5D Mark III looks like at the Colors Festival.
That's a brave person.
Yeah.
Like we all have said, we came back and nothing really happened to our cameras.
Right.
That we know of. Give it 3 months.
Wait, this is whose camera is this, Michael?
That's Chris Chabot's.
That's Chris Chabot's camera.
Oh, Michael's. Okay. Looking
at Michael's got another one on there. Oh, there he is. Yeah.
He's gonna unmute himself, but yeah.
No, it's a train wreck.
That is.
No, because Dave's running Trey's account.
That is actually that's my.
Nice.
The camera I have up is actually my 5D Mark III.
Dude.
Nice.
You guys are crazy.
More protected than and I took that with my iPhone. So that's an iPhone pic of my $3,500 5D Mark III.
So did you clean your iPhone?
At least it was more protected than Chris and Tom's. No. I threw it away. I don't need it.
Well, we are we're coming to the end, like I said, and you know, it was a great event. I'm glad everyone came. We had, I think there was over 20 people from out of state that came in. A lot of them got a house and stayed there. A few people got hotels, and we ate really well. We had some really good photography opportunities. And
We got to hear a great lecture by the great Scott Jarvie to, like, millions of people about Google+. One night.
Oh, yeah, I gave a lecture the day before the photo walk.
You did.
To about 400 businesses in Utah about Google+.
Oh, Scott, you're being modest. 400,000, maybe.
Yeah.
You did a great job, Scott.
You did a wonderful job.
Oh, nice. You did a great job organizing this.
You gotta show that shot.
I'm organizing another event in October, in fact, even better and bigger. No Krishna's involved this time.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, if you insist.
Inquiring minds want to know.
The photography decathlon is going to be start October 9th. And it's going to start off with this day of education. And we're flying in 10 amazing photographers, which are we're going to have help from the community to decide on them. They're going to be one each to represent each different of the 10 styles, because it is a decathlon. And they're going to come and give classes and some be on some panels. And then after that, for the next 2.5 days, we'll have teams go out and compete and go out and get a small portfolio for each of the 10 different styles of photography. So we're talking like landscape and portraiture and architecture, macro, night photography, which, you know, Michael, you should be excited about. We also got commercial photography. You get the point. There's 10 of them. It is in the fall, and we're going to be up in the mountains in these really nice cabins, and some other people will stay in some hotels. It's going to be heavily a big video influence. So we're going to try to get video of everything so that we can share it on YouTube for those that were able to come, because we can only handle maybe a select amount of teams, about 30 teams of 2 to 4 people in each. And then those that are really hardcore can come in and compete as individual contestants against each other as well. And I just posted, in fact, today about this event on my blog. So if people just find me, Scott Jarvie, they can find the post to that, the photography decathlon. In fact, they could just add the photography decathlon on Google+ for now until we get photographydecathlon.com officially up and running. And that's going to be in October, so that should be a much bigger and more beta event.
I can't believe you got Beyonce to come model for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it turned out Shakira wasn't available, so we just went with Beyonce.
Kesha.
Be lovely.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
And then we have another, you know, Trey's going to be back next week. Is that right, Dave?
Yes, he should be. The current plan is to do the photo walk down under. We're going to cover that. That just happened in Australia, the big giant photo walk. That's the plan. Hopefully we'll stick to it. And tomorrow we got Twit Photo with Leo Laporte and Catherine Hall. We got Michael Greco, 1:30 p.m. Pacific. So that should be good.
Rock and roll.
Thanks for having us.
We thank Twit for having us around, and Trey for letting us play while the cat's away.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is in a minute here, I'm going to end the broadcast from Trey's account. Tony's going to stick around, I think, for a little bit and keep the Twit thing going. You guys are free to hang out for a little while and just have some fun. I guess we'll all wave goodbye right now to the camera because this is the official end of the show.
I still love you.